Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British Lady, for cueing us in. And welcome to Pop Culture Stars tonight. Let's see if I battle through that janky sliding glass door on my home here. Today is March 2nd, 2022. We hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. We appreciate you joining us this evening here on Pop Culture Stars. So, we get right down to business while I zip up my, what I like to call my Belichick, kind of like a hoodie sweatshirt with a zipper. It's real baggy. I look like a bum in it, but it's comfortable. And it's something looks like Bill Belichick would wear. So, there we go. Much better. So, I'm going to pass it around to my esteemed panel while I sip on this delicious whiskey. First thing we're going to do is swat it over to the central part of the United States, to that fine state of Arkansas, and introduce our favorite granny, Granny Hulkster. How you doing, young lady?
Well, I'm doing well. It's been kind of busy the last few days, but I'm doing good. It's been 70-degree weather the last couple of days, so we got rid of the sleet that we had last week, and we're on the trend for warmer weather, so.
Yeah, that'll be nice. It needs to do one thing or another, because I know I'm getting a little tired of the yo-yo stuff over here myself. It either just needs to be hot or needs to be cold, and it can't seem to make its mind up. But definitely good to have you aboard this evening, Granny. Appreciate you joining us. Now, I'm going to move to the east, and by God, it has happened. My partner has returned for tonight. My anchor man and my good brother, Todd. Good to have you back, man. What's shaking?
Man, I'm doing outstanding. The supernatural, ecstatic to be here. It's been something else, just staying occupied with life. Just real quick before we go too far, Dave, you said something about it should either be hot or be cold. What the hell is wrong with you just giving the option for cold? Don't even give that option.
Yeah.
I have just had enough of that. We did break 67 degrees today. There was some sun out. I caught part of it, stepped out. I didn't even burst into flames. Can you believe that? Yeah. Some granny talked on. Man, actually, I think I got a first tangent, team. You ready?
Hit it.
For those that observe it, happy Ash Wednesday. And if you don't, something that should always cue in, because it's not it may be a strict day of the week for Ash Wednesday, but it's not always on the first Wednesday in March type thing. It's variable with the dates. It moves a little bit. But it is always a sure sign that you know for that season happens, and spring is pretty much here. Like come Easter, it's like it's a harbinger of better things to come. Even if it's just weather-wise, just saying.
So, yeah, hopefully that'll be the case. Cause,
happy back in the groove with the tangent.
And we need to send our well wishes out to our partners in crime, Tim and Velvet. Hope they're both feeling better, and sending prayers and hugs for both of them.
Yeah, most stuff. Most Timmy's been playing hurt, doing some stuff with work. I knew when he hit me up early yesterday at work, said something about he didn't think he was going to make it. I was like, oh, shuzbutt, and it's several in the household. And Velvet, we know you're fighting a good fight, brother. We love you.
Yeah, without a doubt, we definitely miss both of those guys. And like I said, that health thing, man, it's it's just one of those things that we go through. Got the ups and downs and everything, but it's always tough to see a good friend not feeling what he always. Yeah, and, you know, for what they bring to the group and everything, too, man, it just kind of leaves a hole, you know. But hopefully those guys will get some rest. They'll be rejoining us here sooner than later because we can definitely use the input and the clownery, if you will, from those two gentlemen.
The presence and the ambiance.
Yes, yes. So, with all that being said, we are going to kick off this evening's, I can't even find the words tonight. I don't know how in the hell I went about writing a couple novels. Like all the work. Yeah, man, it's like I'm just back on a damn primary school level of speaking today. I don't know if it's fatigue or just what. But God knows I cannot seem to put a sentence together today. Might be
writer's
early
block,
stage
Dave, writer's block.
It's damn blockhead block is what it is. I tell you, it's something to be amazed. But,
that's funny, Greg.
Yeah. But Todd had a wonderful idea, which picked the spirits up for show topics this evening. And that is those little things that go on that actually makes a bad day better. Doesn't have to be a monumental thing. Doesn't have to be winning the lottery. Doesn't have to be getting a phone call from Selma Hayek asking you out to a movie. It just could be something small that brings your days around. So, Todd, since it was your idea, you want to lead us off? Hit us off with something.
All right, I'll bounce this out there. Well, crap, oh, I don't think we even got to bounce it off of Granny now that I think of it. Just, again, effectively, those little things that make our day better. Like today, a piece of correspondence came in, targeted several of us. I had already done my review and quality control routine, hit the boss up in a messaging format, and I could hear him glibly replying with a bit of smartassness, wait for it. A few moments later, the email came back, and it just, you know, and I was already chuckling just seeing the wait for it. And it came out, and we were on the same page, his phrasing, but we were on the same stinking page going back at the other folks. It was pretty solid. It's just it's nice to know that some moments you have, not everything we do are we a well-oiled machine, but could have responded a couple of ways. I already got it, blah, 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 none of that. It was just wait for it. It just, you know, sometimes even, and again, it was this upper level, upper tier stuff. Let's go with that. And now it just, it's nice to know sometimes it's when we're on a roll with the business is good. Just saying. And it just, yeah. And I actually chuckled out loud. We're seeing the wait for it. It's like, oh, boss, good mood. Yep.
That usually helps.
But it was just very simply, wait for it. And it just, and you can, and you know, we know whether it's messaging or text or emails, you don't always hear the person's voice. But I could not just hear his voice, I could see the grin.
Yeah, you already
that helped
knew.
With the day. Immensely.
And sometimes it's all it takes. Something like that, just a decent little smart-ass comment or a good joke, you know, to kind of pick things back up. Be it ever so, what do they call it? not suitable for work sometimes. It's nice just to have.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
To have a little joke cut in there to make things a little lighter. So, yeah, that definitely.
Yeah,
since
apparently humor is rather frowned upon lately.
You kidding?
Good grief. There's a whole. No, Dave, offline conversation, you'll dig it. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's, all I can say is, the cake decorator crew that's no longer there would be shaking their heads at the reactions of the conversation. They would be doing a tisk, tisk, tisk over certain things. But, yeah, you know, little things, they just that little positive moment. That's good to go.
Yeah, and it hasn't got to be anything huge, just a little something to break the monotony, something to break that, you know, the teeth grinding and the tension helps out a lot, you know, because like today, the entire day today was just one thing after another when it came down to just nonsense. And, you know, God knows, probably could have used a joke somewhere, but I didn't have the right staff in there with me today. I didn't have my usual joke crew with me. And sometimes you got to wonder if it's actually a planned thing, where all the nitwits in Oslo County got together and said, hey, Atwell's got none of his jokesters working with him. Let's all go in there at Food Line and act like a bunch of dumbasses. So, yeah, it was much needed for the joke. And so, and as I was saying in the green room, for me, everything just, you know, as I was driving home and getting away from the work mayhem, more mayhem happened. So I got home.
Oh, who are you telling?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get frightened. You don't even want to answer the phone sometimes. So,
well, at least yours involved the phone. Mine ended up being just chatterheads on the road and everything. And it just, I don't get it. Man, people are just.
Yeah, the driving situation I have no idea. Well, I tell you what part of the problem is when it comes down to driving is folks in these damn phones.
There's a bit of that.
Yeah, whatever it is, it can wait. And if you have to answer it, do like I do. Hey, man, I'm driving. You know, I can give you 3 or 4 sentences. I'm going to hang up. Or there's the option of calling me back in the next 10 minutes when I reach my destination. Which one do you want to do? But as for doing idling speed on a highway and you feel like you're doing the safe thing because you need to talk on the phone and you can't concentrate on your driving, doing 20 in a 55 so you can concentrate on your phone and not your driving is probably not the safest bet, because you're the only guy that knows you're doing that. Everybody else on the road is trying to conduct themselves in a responsible human adult fashion. So, yeah, driving, Christ. Ah. But, yeah, definitely could use a damn a good rib. But I tell you what my plan is this evening is something I've been doing here of late. I go back and I watch a damn cartoon. I know it sounds childish as hell, but I will go and I'll watch like the Uncle Pecos episode of Tom and Jerry.
Crimbone,
yeah. I'll watch that. Or, hell, the other day I even fired up some old episodes of Beavis and Butthead. And, my God, all of a sudden all the problems went away. And the headache that I had was still there, but it converted into a headache from damn laughing so damn hard. you know, wasn't getting any air, and of course, constricting the blood.
I'd still only laugh so much about Beavis and Butthead, but yeah, I mean, it just, whatever. I guess the problem was I saw that too much like being a section of society.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you've got to turn your mind off when you watch it. But my God, I laughed damn hard watching that the other night. I was like, you know what? I'm glad I did this, and it was just on a whim. So it's a habit I'm trying to establish now that before I crash, I'm going to try to, you know, YouTube old Tom and Jerry cartoon or maybe watch a South Park episode or something like that just to get, no matter how ratty the day went, you can go ahead and punctuate it with a laugh. Because a laugh will take a lot. Nah, nothing wrong at all. Solve a lot of problems if they let it.
Unless you're certain people, but that's a whole nother discussion. Yeah, hit Granny up. That's what I was thinking.
Granny, what kind of stuff do you do for feces and giggles?
Well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what Todd was talking about, you know, like, you know, the good, you know, the bad stuff, you know, to make the day better and stuff, you know. And I remember a time where I was just having the most horriblest day ever. I mean, I was going through my own little pity party, you know, and just without even thinking, and I don't remember how old Anthony was. He was probably maybe 11, 12, maybe even a little bit older than that. I don't remember how old he was. Anyways, just without even thinking, I said, nobody cares, you know, nobody just cares at all about, you know. And he says, Mother, God loves you and so do I. And I mean, you know, just out of the clear blue. And you talk about the funny things, you know, it's like we were at a wrestling show Saturday at Wrestling for a Cause over in Tulsa. And Wesley Crane, he was, you know, the bad guy, you know, and everything. And he comes over and I'm standing up hollering at him, doing my thing, you know. And he says, Move, Granny. And he grabs my chair and takes my chair and sets Dmitri Alexandrov in it, you know. And I said, That's okay. I said, I just didn't want my chair anyways, you know. And so later in the night, he sees me sitting in another chair. He says, Oh, I see you got your chair back. I may just have to take that chair from you. And I said, Well, I'd like to see you try, little boy, you know. If you think you're man enough to come take Brandy's chair, you go right ahead. And he says, You've got the memory of the size of a peanut. And I said, You're a good one to talk, Wesley Crane. I said, Your brain, I'm surprised you can even think because there's not much of that brain there.
Nice.
You know, so, I mean, it was just like, so, but yeah, I mean, I have a lot of giggles when I can actually, holler at my wrestling buddies and just, you know, like the bad guys, you know, and just everything and just got to do what I got to do to make it fun, you know?
Yeah.
So
the friendly smack talk always is good. Always good when it's and that's where the our favorite word here on Pop Culture Stars, the butt hurt thing. You know, when you're in there and you're just roasting one another, let it happen, man. Don't get butt hurt over the stuff because people are just in there. If matter of fact, there's a young man at work, and we roast that young man. He's like 17-year-old kid, hardworking young man, very well mannered young man. This guy's going places. Well, he slipped up one day at work and told us he was a New York Giants fan. And all that did was just put a giant bullseye on his chest, right? So We're forever.
See what he did there? Giant fan, giant bullseye. See what he did?
Nice little, yeah, nice little, you know, segue onto the next. So, of course, Valentine's Day, you know, just here recently, I walked by the Valentine's Day merchandise, and I said, I call him Brock, and that's short for broccoli because he's got, like, the broccoli top hair. So I said, what you getting your girl for Valentine's Day, man? And he stops and he goes, man, Mr. Dave, man, I got her this big teddy bear, and it's got her name embroidered on it, man. And he goes through this whole thing about getting her this teddy bear, right? So when he finally gives me the whole scoop on it, I go, cool, man, I just wanted to know so I don't get her the same thing, and walked off, right? This kid, all I hear is, man, Mr. Dave, you're savage, man. How do you come up with this stuff? But he got to laughing about it so hard. Now, like I said, if you get butthurt, you go, man, you can't be talking like that about my girl, man. Nah. He got laughing so hard, and what made it even funnier is that he walked around the store trying to get other people on the same joke, but I had already gotten everybody on the same joke. So it made it even funnier. I was like, dude, I do my homework. You're not going to be able to use my joke on somebody else. Come on, man.
I kid you not. We had, I liked it. That was well played. I'm not even going to go into that one. One of the ones at work, she happened to, on my Twilight tour, she happened to be an active duty Marine working in the same, she didn't work for me, but she worked in a different section, if you will, and department, however you want to call it, was well aware of me. And ironically, she does a lot of stuff where kind of the same role. She's got her own section, team, all that stuff, and she's a little more senior doing stuff now, and even more so the stuff filters through me now. And we had an oops at higher headquarters, people just not paying attention. It was kind of sort of a semantics thing, so there was some humor there, but it was probably more frustrating, so I was looking for that silver lining, and had talked to a higher headquarters mate, got stuff sorted, and when my WD, my work daughter, because we just use WD in a lot of the meetings, she means it as work dad, I mean it as work daughter. And she had sent the email that everything was done. I sent it up to a higher headquarters on the thing, directly to one person with a little bit of kibitz in. When the response came back from higher headquarters, she included the work daughter on it. I didn't include the work daughter. I just, you know, I'd send it up. See what my work daughter does? She's doing good work, man. She took care of everything that was on her plate that you sent her. And my mate from up higher sent it back. Made sure she was included in the email, so I fired back, hey, you know, we can just don't tell her we're saying all these nice things about it. It'll go to her head. And, of course, she replied to all. And she happened to be in the office today when I was doing an in-office day. And just, you know what, the smile on her face. And in her email, she goes, you know, sometimes I wonder how much of this stuff I'm getting right or not, and if I'm failing at it. She goes, you know, that's a big thing to cheer me up. Thank you. And it just, sometimes you can do a little kibitz, a little humor, and make somebody's day. And she knew it went up higher. You know, she got a little positive recognition while jerking her chain at the same time.
Yeah, you know, when you do that, it also brings about some kinship, too. That's real important at the workplace, where people feel like they belong. part of the gang. You know what I mean? Somebody who's valued. You know, because a lot of times you go to the workplace, man, it's a lonely spot. No matter how many people you work with, a lot of times you feel like you're, you know, all alone. And, you know, when you have somebody that comes up and, you know, roast you, but in the same ticket is giving you credit and, you know, bringing attention to your hard work through a roasting fashion, if you will.
It did. Exactly. Because I made the point. Yeah. I was like, you know, when I said she can't know things we're talking about her because she'll get a big head about it. And when I went up to the to where she sits by the cube, I started rubbing the edges of it. As I walked up, I said, son of a bitch, you already lubricated it. Get your head through. She just started giggling, and she just, and you could see it was both a pleased with the humor and a pleased with the praise, and, you know, she had that multi-level smile on her face.
Yeah, man.
And that's what you do.
Yeah, and it helps because it carries on. It isn't a one-time thing. It's where that person is like, wow, you know, I am, people feel all right enough around me to crack jokes, and they appreciate, you know, they notice what I'm doing here. Maybe I need to join them in the reverie instead of being butthurt or being a, you know, a thorn in everybody's side. And that's why those little activities like that are, you know, so important, because it does. It lets everybody know where they stand with one another. And, you know, it's, folks lose track sometimes of how much it means for, something just happened to my left here. Make sure it's not a sass squatch coming to get me. That was an unusual sound. Nevertheless, in the event you hear a girlish scream, that's just something happening to me here on Pop Culture Stars.
Well, in all truth, that could be anything from an owl going. From an owl, you sometimes, while you'll never hear the wing, sometimes they're crashing in on something in the trees. And there's still the odds and ends bobcat over there.
Yeah, could be.
Could have been a clumsy deer.
Unusual
could
sound.
Could have been a clumsy deer.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the way things been going in this neighborhood of late, we're all keeping our eyes peeled. We've had a few odd events happening here of late. You know, this neighborhood's always been pretty darned subdued, bunch of old retired folks like myself. And here of late, there's been a little turn for the worst. And, of course, I'm not too particularly worried about it because I have 300 pounds of dog and more weight than that in ammunition and firearms here in the house. And I'm not going to count my bladed weapons if there's somebody out there listening to me. You always like announce what you have, so that way if they are hiding behind a tree, and this baseball bat I have right here next to me, wrapped in barbed wire with the blood of my enemies.
Yes, I was waiting for the Negan reference. There we go.
See if we can run back into the woods.
You know what? You can say that about the barbed wire. But darn if I don't remember people deliberately doing the stuff with in all the broken bottles to have all the pieces of heavier gauge glass wedged into it.
I still like the old Bloodsport movie. You remember Bloodsport with Van Damme in it?
Yeah, I remember the movie, that there was such a movie. I don't remember Jack about it, but yeah. Other than I think doggone it, the guy that would do the burps, or one of the Ogre was in it. Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Ooh, I don't remember.
He was in one of those Van Damme flicks.
I just remember in Bloodsport at the big fight at the end, they taped their hands up. They taped their fists up, but then the last layer of tape they put around backwards. And then this guy comes out with this box full of broken glass. And Van Damme and the guy he's fighting put their fist in the broken glass, so they had to fight with the broken glass stuck to the tape on their hands. I'm like, that is so wicked. I want to do that. And, of course, after, you know, the first scrape you get, and you're like, ah, no more. That would be pretty wicked to do, though, man. That's, but I digress. I'm getting too old to be doing stuff like that. In my younger days, I might, but now it's anything to keep me out of the doctor's office is what I'm after. You know, I saw Bloodsport on. I think it's HBO Max got Bloodsport on right now. I need to sit down and watch that. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've seen a Van Damme flick. I used to watch those right regularly back in the day. Yeah, you know, speaking on good news, I had to go by the Sergeant Major's. He is getting a new recliner, and much like everything at my folks' house, it is in pristine condition, even, 100 years later. And so the dad wants to
Are you scoring? Are you scoring?
Yeah. And Dad's got a good
now. Now, keep in mind, it's pre-shaped to somebody else's butt.
Yeah, well, Dad ain't got much left to his, so I mean, it's really not that big of a deal. It was still had plenty of fluff to it and everything. So, it's a swivel rocker recliner. There's a whole hell of a lot going on with this chair, man, but it is comfortable as hell. And so, you know, they called up and they said, hey, you want this thing, which is basically their way of asking me to pick it up and carry it out of their house for them, which is fine. Free piece of furniture, if it's in good shape, the answer is always going to be hell yes. So we get over there, and it took me and Rob maybe, you know, a minute or two to get loaded up in the truck. And so we went back in to shoot the breeze with my folks, and unbeknownst to me, my dad's been having a lot of problems with his foot lately. His foot's been bothering him pretty bad. And it's all, everything somehow is connected to the whole Agent Orange exfoliant thing, Vietnam. So he has a lot of odd stuff happening. And it usually is some type of side effect of his exposure to that stuff. Nevertheless, when he was in Orlando over Christmas at my brother's, his foot really started acting up bad on him. So a nifty little thing about the state of Florida versus here in North Carolina is that with all the geriatrics down that way, you can go to a – they got stores down there in Florida that are like old folks stores. And I don't mean that in an disparaging way, of course. But they're – if you can imagine like a an Academy Sports, but it's – for seniors. So they got your scooters and all that kind of nifty stuff in there. Well, apparently Dad had picked
so
up.
As opposed to Forever 21, it's like Forever 71.
Yeah, Forever 81, yeah. That's about right. Yeah, exactly. So he picked up a walker while he was down here. And he gets along fine. Hell, he was getting along fine at the house. So he says, well, let me show you my, and I was like, I thought he was messing around. Well, next thing I know, he comes out with this walker, okay? And it isn't you see in hospitals or anything. This thing's pretty nice, man. I mean, you talk about state-of-the-art when it comes down to walkers. It's got it, man. I mean, it's got all this stuff.
they have freaking cup holders.
Yeah. I mean, this thing's sharp, you know. So
not that I've been chopping them.
Yeah, not that I've been looking at them either, you know. So just as fate would have it, as I'm looking at this, and I'm like, what in the hell, you know, he folds it all up. And, I mean, this thing you could take it, it's like flap, flap, flap. And it's like this flat panel, and he just picks it up and carries it. So I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, okay, if he could pick it up and carry the damn thing, what does he need it for in the first place, you know? Nevertheless, Rob out of nowhere comes out and goes, oh, cool, it's the Transformer. I thought I was going to shit my pants laughing, right? So, of course, you know, and Dad already knows that I'm a wife.
Well, just for the record, hold on here. Mom and Dad asked me if I want a piece of furniture. That's so I can come over and help them. Notice Q and Rob, the heavy lifting is handled there. Just saying.
Yeah. He definitely has a purpose sometimes when it comes down to picking up furniture. But a couple of minutes later, just as fate would have it, they say, you know, they always say that God works in mysterious ways. Well, phone rings, and it's not a telemarketer, not a spam call. It's my brother in Orlando just calling and shooting the breeze with Mom and Dad. Speakerphone, right? And so we're all shooting the breeze as a family, right? And Dan, my brother, asks, how's his foot? You know, ask my dad, how's his foot feeling? Dad says, it's feeling all right. You know? He says, well, that walker thing helps me out. You know, if it bothers me, I'll just break it out and, you know, it helps me get around and everything. And I said, I didn't even know he had the damn thing. I says, he's getting along fine out here. I said, I don't know what the hell he needs a walker for. So Dad says, told you, my damn foot bothers me. So then my brother says, yeah, well, what color tennis balls do you have on it? Being a wise guy, right? So we started laughing, and my dad says, well, your mother's so damn cheap, she won't even go to the sporting goods store and buy me real tennis balls. She goes to the damn PetSmart and buys me them goddamn dog tennis balls, right? So, of course, before anybody get one in, I said the reason why she does that is because the damn squeakers will let her know where your ass is at in the house, like a bell on a cat. Well, we all fell out laughing. I mean, my brother and his wife were on the phone crying. Rob was rolling. Everybody was laughing but Dad. And Dad looks around the whole house, and he looks at Rob, and he goes, the hell's your problem? it's like the one guy he was expecting to be on his side. And Dad's all like, what's up your ass, you know? But funny, oh, my God.
That's freaking great. Although, and here's the thing, a true story, they do sell them the tennis balls pre-cut for the walkers.
Really?
Yep. Somebody was talking smack about me, and they sent me a picture of those and saying, I just wanted to check if you had a supply or not before I bought your Christmas gift. Oh, yeah, I get some love from the workmates.
That's some damn stroke of genius right there. Some guy is watching these old folks go around with tennis balls on their walker, and he probably sit back one day and said, you know what, I wonder if there's a patent on that shit. And he looked it up and found out there was no patent on it. And he says, you know what? And he pulls his damn pocket knife out, and he stabs a hole in a damn old tennis ball, cuts a hole in it, and then calls the patent office. And now that guy is probably wiping his ass with $100 bills while we have to get up in the morning, shower, and head to work.
What I'm wondering is if he was experimenting with his mom and dad, with the different what manners, how far to cut it, do I do a cross hatch, do I do what, you know, like that one don't work. They wipe out. Yeah, can't use that cut. Get up, I got to try another one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you got to learn these things, man. It's,
Yeah, you. Let me guess. Either you're visualizing or you saw the text I sent you about the transformer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. That was rich. But the funny thing is that you know somebody, you wonder how many floors –
You gonna be okay?
Yeah. Yes, that's good. I love the smirk. I would be smirking too. I wonder how many floors had to get scarred up, because I always joke about it at work. Like, take for instance, you take berries. All right, let's say you're a caveman and you're walking around, and a caveman grabs a fistful of blueberries and eats them. And he's like, damn, these things are good. And then another caveman grabs a fistful of blackberries. He throws them. He eats them. He's like, damn, these things are good, you know? So you reach in there and you grab berries off a holly bush and you eat them and you drop dead. You're like, well, shit, how did that go about happening? You know, so there's always that kind of fail-safe thing that happens in life to where there's always got to be that one guy that screws it up to let you know not to do it. And so I wonder how many floors out there, when walkers first came to pass, how many floors out there just got tore all to shit before some guy got tired one day of his grandmother scuffing up his damn hardwood floors. And he says, God damn it, I can't, y'all, spunk, spunk, and put two damn tennis balls on the back of a walker.
Hold on. I don't think it was about the scarring. I think it was about the noise. Let's say it happened before those little, they come with those little rubber stoppers, okay? Now, the scarring might have happened prior to the original rubber stoppers. But
yeah,
I'm assuming part of that was about the damn noise of the things. To tell you the truth, actually, it was somebody living in the apartment below someone that had the walker.
Go up there with two tennis balls. Here, put these on her, goddammit.
I need to sleep. Come on. That is far more probable.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that, because to be certain, somebody with a walker wouldn't live below you. God, you know, perish the thought. So, that's funny. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, they're clunking around. You're getting pissed. You look around. You see, you got like a pool table in your house, so you got two billiard balls, and you're going, no, that's not going to work.
Right? Oh, hell no, bad idea. Okay, you start thinking of the old crazy clackers. Nope, that ain't happening.
Yeah, we're not doing that one either. Then finally you hit pay dirt with the tennis balls. Well, there you go. Outstanding. That's what we needed. Why didn't I come up with that, you know?
Because you didn't live below the person, and down. Yeah, that's just the way it is. And the whole thing is, they probably did it for themselves. We're all fat, dumb, and happy, right? Because they the peace and quiet going, and it was somebody else after that first one, like one of their, the people that got it, they were like, yeah, the neighbor said this is quieter, and it happened and happened and happened. And somebody eventually picked up on it and was like, son of a bitch, this works.
Yeah, we're on fire, man. We need to do this. Well, they say about necessity is the mother of invention, I guess.
Yep. Also, see, I don't know. I guess, look, I'm well aware the Marine Corps worked me. But I always thought of it as maximum utilization of available resources.
True.
Just saying.
Yeah, adapt and
just
overcome.
Saying. I think, I got a couple nicer suit jackets. I think I'm going to go look at some of those secondhand goods, suit jacket stores, whatnot. How to get one. I have, Dave, this will surprise you a little bit. I haven't shaved in many, many months. I just run the electrics over and kind of trim it a little bit. And
You're talking about your face, of course, right?
Say again?
You're talking about your face, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about my face. Oh, for fuck's sake. Sorry for the language. Really? Sorry, Granny. Dave's talking about other than 70s porn style.
You're fine.
Good grief. So then it occurred to me, because I always have, like, Dave, you know this, I always have some variation of breath mints. And I've been definitely heavy duty with the Tic Tac stuff. So I haven't shaved for a while, though. And I've kind of pseudo been doing the house look with the semi-shaved face, because I've been running the electric clippers. So there's always stubble. And
right.
If you remember the House TV series. And I've talked to a couple mates. So I want to get that secondhand worn-out suit jacket and maybe start wearing the T-shirts. I'm sure somebody will fuss about the T-shirts, and they'll start wearing whatever that'll fit the clothing requirements. But do the T-shirts or the suit jacket, and instead of doing all my breath mints, since I'm doing that secondhand shaving thing, instead of doing the breath mints out of the classic container they come in, I want to find a reused prescription bottle. Like House used to do. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Yes.
That would work freaking great.
I got a funny story to tell you guys.
Before you get to your story, Granny. Oh, God, that's going to be a fun HR moment, just saying. Okay, go on.
Okay. You know, you were talking about the walkers and everything, you know? Well, we had a good friend.
I knew you could relate.
Class. Huh?
I knew you could relate to the walkers.
Well, yeah, because I actually have one, because I had to use one after I had both of my knee replacements. So, and I still have it. It's the kind of walker that's got the seat on it, so when I get tired, I can sit and take a breather, you know. But anyways, so our friend, we had a birthday party for our friend, a guy in our Sunday school class, and he was turning 50. So we wrote out, well, we spelled his name, you know, Joe Elkins, and we put words by each letter of, you know, his name, you know, and we came up with this little story. So we had the walker, and we had the bicycle horn attached to the walker.
I like it. Big fan of the bicycle horn.
We got him some gag gifts. We had some X-Lax, and I forget what all we had, but oh my gosh, I mean, he absolutely died. And he thought I came up with the whole idea of this. I said, no, it wasn't me. It was somebody else in the class. They just had me read this little story to you. But it wasn't my idea. But, oh, my gosh, we had, like I said,
oh, my God, I can see the people in the class. They're all like, hey, we can do this. He's going to be butthurt. Oh, Granny will read the story.
Well, yeah, but you know, that was before Granny Hulkster was ever thought of. So I wasn't Granny Hulkster then. But anyway.
Oh, well, okay. So in that case, I wasn't going to go there. We will have the resident sucker read the story.
No, they just had me read the story because I could make it sound better with, like, emotions, you know, make it, like, certain words sound exciting and certain words, you know, put that oomph in certain words, you know. Because I was good at doing things like that. So, you know, I was good at doing things like that. But, yeah, but that was hilarious. And then another funny thing that I just thought of, Saturday night when I was at this wrestling show, one of my very good friends that I've known Barry probably for 5 years, and he was being the bad guy.
Now, was that Manuel?
No. His real name is Barry Linda, but his wrestling name is Mr. Saturday Night Michael Barry. And he also goes by a wrestler name by the name of Flex Zerba. So anyways, he was Mr. Saturday Night, and he was being the heel that night. And it's been a while since I've actually got to give this guy grief. So he comes out, and he's like, puts his fist up in my face. He says, "Come on, Granny, you want to fight?" And I said, "Yeah, we haven't had a good fight in a long time. You know, where have you been hiding at? I know, wait. I know you've been too scared to show your face around here at WSC." So he takes his finger, and he pokes me on my nose with his finger. He says, "I love it when you get angry."
You know, just a thought, Granny, what we can do with your walker, since it's inactive at the moment, what we ought to do is paint it red.
Hey, since she said it was an older model, shouldn't we get it one of those, like, antique license plates?
No, not my walker is not an older model. That walker was one of those kind that has the tennis balls on the, you know, we borrowed that from somebody. That wasn't mine back then. That wasn't my walker. The walker I have now, I've had for probably
40 years.
Well, let's see. No. Let's see. I had my first knee replacement in February of 2014. So I've had that walker that I have now for 8 years, and it is red. I don't have to paint it red. It is kind of a maroon-colored red. So
awesome. So all we have to do.
Okay, we're getting a radio flyer license plate.
Yes. Better yet, we have it. And we scotch tape a wick to it. So that way somebody says, you know where I'm heading with this, Todd. Somebody will walk up and say, "Yours looks like a stick of dynamite." And you go, "That's right, because it's a Jimmy Walker."
It took a little bit for it to look at you. And half the audience is going, "What?"
Yeah, who? Who's Jimmy Walker? Is that the guy that does the bourbon? No, that's Johnny Walker. No, it's Jimmy Walker. Good times. Oh, yeah, that's the guy on the Fresh Prince. No. God damn it, just drop it. If you're not 50, you don't get the joke.
JJ.
There you go.
Jimmy JJ Walker.
That's it. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, all jokes aside about walkers. I was on crutches there for a bit, and they had those great big rubber stoppers on the bottom of crutches.
Yeah.
So why can't they put those on the back two legs of walkers? Why do they have to be tennis balls? Or in my dad's case, two squeaky dog toys with tennis balls.
I'm guessing back to the apartment, I'm guessing it was still the thud factor.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Those older type of walkers, guys, that they put the tennis balls on, the tennis balls helps roll easier for people to use them easier.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely multi-purpose. I think there's a thud factor on that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I got a good crutch joke for you though. How did syphilis get out of the hospital? on crutches.
It limped along. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, crutch rot. I like it. Crutch rot. Is that where you're going?
No, crutches. That's the old.
Yeah, there you go.
How did gonorrhea get out of the hospital? On crutches. It's all the way you flow it out there. Half the room will pick up that you said crotch and not crutch, but still, it's got about a 70% success rate.
Most well, that's a whole different idea on that idea of the thud. Sometimes jokes go thud.
Yes, they fall flat. That's when you got to hit that, am I right? And hope everybody laughs.
I don't know, one of the best crutch bits that I remember ever was friggin' Foster Brooks on the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast. He got up there behind the podium. He had crutched up doing the character thing. He took the crutches, leaned them against the podium, and just collapsed. It was freaking hilarious. Oh, my God, it was so well played. It was just...
When I was on
and
my
I still say, look, I got Granny and I got Dave here. Look, if Dr. John could do a cosplay, tell me he couldn't do Foster Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
The hair, yeah. The appearance, he could pull off a Foster Brooks.
Yeah, he'd fall right in with it. Yeah, heartbeat.
That would be like a no-effort friggin' cosplay on his part.
Just give him a couple Tylenol PMs or something to kind of stagger him up a little bit. He'd be perfect. He'd be all over it. There's a girl that I was good friends with in high school, and of course, you know, when you try to...
Now, when you say friends... Okay, let me ask, because there's a couple things with you. All right, like, was she one of the good-looking chicks that let you hang around? Or, I'll just start there, because...
Actually, no, she was kind of a girl next door type that I would have given the opportunity, but nobody was getting the opportunity, so I just kind of didn't push the issue, if you will. So anyhow, I was always good for, you know, she was always a good joke slave. She was always one of the ones with, you know, would always laugh at the jokes. So I had, you know, when crutches are so cumbersome. When you're at work, you know, we're here at the house. You take the crutches, throw them up against the wall, and then you just hop around the house. But when you're at school or at work or something like that, crutches are just cumbersome as hell. I mean, they are a pain in the neck to navigate because you always got to put them somewhere. When you finally get to where you're at, you got to put them somewhere. And they're normally, you know, 3-4 foot long. So it's like carrying these great big, you know, it's like handles.
Right. You're only so tall, so got it. You got the dwarf crutches.
Yeah, I'm 5'7". They probably went to the bottom screw on mine. But I had set my crutches down, right? And I didn't realize it, but when I did, they were leaning up against her leg, right? So I keep right on working. I happen to look down, and I noticed they were leaning up against her leg, and she hadn't kicked them off, right? So I was thinking, that's pretty nice of her to be patient like that. So I tap her on the shoulder. I said, Michelle. She says, what? You know, because we're all supposed to be quiet in classes. I got to tell you something. She says, what? I says, I've had a crush on you for a long time. And she just looked over her shoulder, and it's like, you could just see her foot kind of go, tink, and kick the crutches off of her. She goes, you're such a dork. You know that, right? So, of course, in the walk around, oh, I've got a crutch on him, too. Yeah, I got a crutch on her. Crutches are great, though. I swear. I don't know about you, Granny, but when I got off of crutches, the hardest part I had wasn't my legs, but it was my arms. Because normally, you know, when you walk and your arms sway left, mm-hmm. right, left, right when you walk. But when I got off of crutches, I was so used to damn putting both of them forward, I found myself walking with both arms going up and then going back, going up, going back. I mean, I look like a soldier.
Oh, I thought that was really frustrating for you because, crap, Dave, you were only the first generation walking upright anyway, so you were just falling back on family standards.
Yeah, it was all I could do to stand up with all those things. I was used to walking on all fours, so, I mean, what the hell was I going to do with my arms swinging in the same direction at once? I mean, I looked like an absolute dumbass, man. I was like, God, I have got to stop this. And I actually had to consciously monitor my arms swinging when I was walking because I was so used to both arms forward, pull yourself up. Both arms forward, pull yourself up. Yeah, crutches suck, man. I have no use for those things. But, of course, that was back before they invented hover rounds and all those kind of nifty things. Those hover rounds, man. Those people on the hover rounds, God bless them, but they're vicious. Man, they know no mercy. They, the idea behind them is to help them get around mobility-wise, but damn, son, it's almost like Mad Max where they just, like, they might as well put these battering rams on the front of them because they just will plow right into a crowd on those things with no remorse.
Check this out. This might fall into something you had talked about, things we watched recently. So I was watching Grand Tour, which was a variation of the old BBC show. Amazon had picked it up. And the one guy had picked up the idea of or they picked up two different variations of it. One of them was the your little drag-along luggage for the airport, and they had picked up, like, drill batteries and kind of rigging the drill to drive the wheels, put wheels on them and stuff. And he had made, like, a, for lack of better description, a mini go-kart to get through the airport. Sit on your carry-on luggage routine. And that was a hot mess. You talk about people hover around doing stuff. One of the things he slammed into some display of chocolate bars, that did not go well. He hit some dude, all kinds of stuff. It was just, oh, my goodness, unreal. Unreal, but yeah. Talking about the hover rounds. Oh, there's worse ideas out there, just saying.
Well, I can imagine. Thanks, Ron. Yeah, I remember my dear, dear mother-in-law when things were getting towards the end with her. We had gotten one for her. Me and my brother-in-law had put it together, and the whole time we were putting it together, she was like, she wasn't real keen on the idea. We put it together. We said, Mom, come on and sit on it. We showed her how to drive it. She got on that thing, twisted the handle, and took off and drove right into a wall with it. I mean, like five solid feet, wham, dead stop, right into a wall. She calmly got up off it. You know, a little Okinawan lady, she calmly got off it. Because when she hit the wall, she hit it with everything she had. I mean, damn near shot her off the thing. And she just calmly stands up, and she goes, I know, like, and never got on that thing again.
honest to God, that reminds me about my first time trying a mini bike. What did my brother do? He set me up facing right to a hedgerow. How do you think that ended up for me? No, I did not have enough distance to get through the hedgerow, so it ended up in the hedgerow painfully. Not clean through. But the clothes were just as tattered.
Todd, you talk about mini bikes. When I lived in western Kansas, my brother, he had a mini bike. He was probably 9 or 10 years old, maybe. And my mom thought she would be really smart and try to ride it. Well, she didn't know how to stop it, and she went crashing into a barbed wire fence. And my brother, he comes running over to my mom, and instead of asking my mom, "Are you okay? Are you hurt?" he said, "Did you hurt my bike?"
I understand the perspective.
You know, he just like, "Did you hurt my bike?"
Is the bike okay? That's all too real a statement, Granny. Frankly, I think we all know someone that's like that.
Now, are you talking about
can we save the car?
Tiny ones where you'd sit on it and your knees would be up level with your face and it had the little lawnmower engine on it. Is that the kind you're talking about?
Yeah, more or less.
Basically,
mini bike.
In the early 80s, we lived on base housing. And the Gibson brothers, God, I hope, you know, I hadn't seen these guys. It would be a damn wonder if either one of them was still alive, because neither one of them, they were the kids that mom said we couldn't play with, but they were the ones that had all the cool stuff. So they had gotten, Bobby was the older brother, Jody was the younger brother, and Bobby had gotten one of those motorbikes for Christmas. And, yeah, I could just about do a whole show on the stuff that these two Gibson brothers used to do. I mean, fond childhood memories, man, of these guys. Like I said, if they're alive, it'd be a damn wonder, because unless they wised up quick, neither one of them was damn operating on a whole bag of marbles. But nevertheless, Bobby gets on it. And, of course, me, I'm an 8-year-old kid, sees Bobby over there with this nifty motorbike, and I'm like, God, my folks suck. They didn't get me no motorbike, you know. Bobby and Jody get all the cool shit. Here I am over here with another damn Star Wars guy. You know, this sucks. So I see Bobby, you know, he finally cranks it up. Now, if y'all remember back in the 70s, early 80s, the architecture thing that was going on at the time was that if you lived on a hill, they would usually landscape the side of the hill off and put like a brick piling, like a little brick wall. So what would happen is that your yard would be level to that brick wall and then it would drop off to level ground where the neighbor's property would pick up. So, anyhow, that's how the Gibson's house was.
Okay, to pick up on an earlier comment by you, why do I hear Daffy Duck going yurts in the way?
Because that's pretty much what was going to happen. Bobby got on that thing and drove it around the house because he got it cranked right in the front yard. So, of course, me and my brother are watching him through the living room window, and we're all just kind of pooped out because, you know, we're never going to get one of those. And he finally gets it cranked, and he drives around his house under that great big oak tree between him and Scott Brown's house, and it drove around the back where we used to play baseball, and he comes whizzing wide open. And I guess he hit a hole or lost control of it. I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, he floof, disappeared. And then a couple seconds later, the bike keeps right on going and just rides through the yard, across the street, across our yard, into the neighbor's yard, and falls over up against the tree. Bobby was yet to be seen. That thing had dumped Bobby's ass off on the neighbor's property on the other side of that wall. He was laying there looking like a damn busted pretzel. And, of course, just as fate would have it, my mom was out getting the mail. And, you know, my mom was always that you put your eye out kid. we couldn't have anything because my mom had an active imagination that somehow we were going to kill ourselves with every toy we got. And she turns around and looks, and you see her just, you know, she's got the teacher run going on. She runs over there, and there's Bobby, you know, all the hell out. Me and my brother sit there looking out the window going, man, we ain't never going to get one of them damn things now. But the way he vanished, he just drove that thing right off the side of that wall, and I guess when he hit the ground, Dylan, you know, that, those things aren't known for their shock value. And, you know, like a dog, shocks. Yeah, when he hit that damn ground, you know, that was a good 4 or 5 foot drop. And when he hit the ground, it must have damn knocked his asshole through his throat. And, yeah, we thought it was funnier than hell. Of course, when Mom got in the house, you know, we were like, all right, dude, don't laugh. We're going to get busted. Don't laugh. Because me and my brother had a bad habit of laughing at stuff that ain't funny. Imagine that. And we'd always get our ass, especially Mom. Dad would laugh with us if we were laughing at something that wasn't funny, but Mom would whip our ass every time. But, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that in ages. I mean, like I said, I could feel – I remember them making a tire swing one time. And you know how a tire swing, if you picture a knot on a tire swing, you've got the knot around – you've got like a loop around the limb.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And you've got the knot on the bottom of the limb, and then, of course, it goes down to the tire. Well, when Bobby and Jody engineered this thing, they put the knot at the top of the limb. Didn't even think anything about it. All summer long, my mom would, don't you guys get on it. Don't let me catch you on that tire swing. Don't let me catch you on it. So, of course, Mom teaching school, she always got home at the same time every day. So me and my brother would go over there, grab ass, and then about 15 minutes before Mom got home, we were like, okay, guys, can't touch it no more. We can stand back and, you know, watch. But you know, we had it played pretty good. So Scott Brome, who was like the human version of Charlie Brown, dressed like Charlie Brown, looked like Charlie Brown, acted like Charlie Brown. This dude was like the real Charlie Brown, right? He got on it, and we started spinning him around. I mean, to the point where he was almost at like a 90-degree angle from the ground, right? I mean, he was sailing. Well, unbeknownst to us, all summer long, that rope had been fraying out on the tree bark because they put the damn the knot on the top of the limb, like I mentioned. Just about that time, we hear a car. We turn around and look, and it's the old blue Caprice Classic station wagon that Mom had pulling up in the driveway. And me and my brother are like, hey, we ain't going to get busted. We ain't on the damn thing. We're cool. All's good. Just about that time, the rope gave way. And the tire and Scott sailed off and rolled. I mean, It must have rolled 10, 12 city blocks before it finally come to rest. And me and my brother knew. I mean, we knew we had had it. Next thing you know, they make sure Scott's okay. Scott's all scarred up, nose bleeding, lip bleeding, all scratched up. Still got the tire hung up around him because he had gotten hung up inside the tire along all the rolling there. And so... you know, my mom, you know, she makes sure Scott's okay and everything and goes over there and gets Scott's mom out and the whole damn nine yards. And Scott's mom was one of these great big, you know, those 6 foot tall ladies that weigh like 350 and they always wear muumuus. She was one of those ladies. And
well, that's because they couldn't wear anything else, but yes.
She was terrifying. And, you know, we all thought we were going to die just at her hand, you know. So Mom ain't whipped neither one of our asses. We thought, right, okay, we're in the clear. We're good. We get in the house. Mom just calmly goes inside, changes out of her teaching clothes, comes on out in her shorts and her tank top, and commences to go in our asses.
you know, Dave, stop and think about this. What about all the parents that let us ride the old truck inner tubes down the fucking hills.
Yes.
And yes. I use the F word again. Sorry, people. Son of a boy. And no, I actually deliberately stopped the second one. But you know where I'm going on this. Look, for those of you that don't remember, let me tell you, a truck inner tube was gold.
Easy.
A truck tire inner tube was
easy
gold. Was
and then
gold.
If you
were in a cold weather place,
yes,
that was the thing to slide down the hill in. And,
right. Oh,
just for the record, 90% of the population didn't have any form of support feature inside. In other words, we would all jump in, and it was a butts dragging as we were going down snow, ice, whatnot covered hills. And, yeah, there were always rocks. It was only the rich people that had any form of a tarp thing protector underneath that. But, yeah, oh, look, summertime, forget about it. We were curling ourselves into it and trying to roll down the hill inside it. Oh, yeah. And just for the record, we were the smarter generation.
I'm not going to break my neck doing this shit. Trust me. Yeah, whenever somebody, then, you know, when you got to driving, somebody would have that driver's license, and you'd take the rope and tie it to a tow hitch, but nobody had the engineering degree to realize that when the truck stopped, the damn inner tube kept going.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, my God, the whole, as we wrap up winter season and the podcast, I'm going to throw this one out there. The vehicles no longer have classic bumpers. Let me tell you something about up north growing up. Bumper skiing was the deal. Now, I will tell you right now, it was not hazard-free. Many of us lost the, how do I want to say this? Okay, it was one thing when family was deliberately trying a side street and would take the gang down the side street and do that. But bumper skiing was not limited to that, because we would go to an intersection, find a vehicle and jump on the back of it. Driver permission was definitely optional. Just saying. And then it would happen. There were potholes.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens in that part of the country in that time of year. And there were manhole covers.
Ooh. That sat a little awkward.
And let me tell you, if you want to play the whole generation thing, this guy, his dad was a dentist. But let me tell you, he didn't have all of the digits on all of his hands.
Oh, man.
One of them went down the road on the back of a stranger's bumper. Part of one of his digits went down the road on a stranger's bumper.
Ooh.
In the winter, post manhole cover. It happens. That was, how the hell do I say this? That was kind of expected losses back in the day. All right, so we are near the bottom of the hour. Let's see if we can wrap this up, team.
Yeah, we actually
I know. I just gave us some heavy-duty stuff, and now try to wrap it up on that. You're welcome.
Yeah, hell, well done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass it around the room real quick, and I am going to start off with the wonderful Granny Hulkster. What kind of parting shots do you have to see the mail?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and, you know, everybody be safe and just love each other and take good care of each other. And, Todd, I want to tell you, because I haven't talked to you in such a long time, my friend, that I have a good friend that's flying in from New York into Kansas City on the 28th of March. He's going to his parents' house and getting his grandfather's car and driving here to Springdale and picking David and Anthony and I up, and we are all taking Anthony to WrestleMania in Dallas.
Oh, that is
sick.
The end
of the month. And Anthony was so excited when my friend told him. He says, bro, he says, have you ever had the dream of ever going to WrestleMania? And Anthony says, well, yeah. And he says, well, dude, he says, you, me, your mom, and dad, we're all going to WrestleMania. And he is so excited.
Look, I am seriously excited about the after-action report on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already said we're going to have the Granny Hulkster recap.
I can't wait because we're going to go one day to WrestleCon, and there are so many. They keep adding more and more big names to this list of people that's going to be at WrestleCon, and I am just, oh, gosh, I am just so excited. I can't wait. I mean,
this is huge. Huge. I'm talking
with
like John Holmes.
With everything that Anthony's been going through and the situation David and I've been going through with Anthony, this is just, you know, a dream of a lifetime for us.
At least one of you picked up on that. That's massive. Granny, that is awesome. I am glad. Dave, give me a grip. Good grief.
We can't do a show without a day without a weenie joke, man. I'm telling you, it's no matter how hard we try, we almost made it, by God. But a weenie joke certainly is. I'm sorry. I am a 12-year-old and 51-year-old.
I delivered that dry. I delivered it level. I delivered it real quick and just kind of did a drive-by with it. And, boy, I can't do nothing with them. Granny, I am seriously excited about the after-action report. And just to be clear, Granny, you got my digits. You know my generic working hours. So aside from that, I don't give a hell if you wake me up. Now, I ain't always saying I'll wake up to answer the call, but you always know I'll answer the call as best I can.
I know. But no, he is just, I mean, his eyes, because I had my phone, and, I mean, Anthony's eyes lit up like a kid at Christmas time with a new toy. I mean, he was just like ecstatic. I mean,
let me ask you a question on that. Was that because he was going to WrestleMania, or because he found out you had a friend?
That's good, Todd. No, because, I mean, you haven't been on the show with us for a while, Todd, you know, and
I
you found
not.
Out that Anthony actually meets the criteria for autism spectrum disorder now. And the doctors that tested him wrote a more detailed letter, and we've been having meetings with trying to get him the help that he needs. I mean, we thought we were going to have to put
about
him in a residential.
You know what? Major progress. About damn time. I'm happy.
Yeah. And
way happy.
What we're going to do is we're going to transfer his – we've got his HUD transferred from a one-bedroom to a two-bedroom apartment, and try to get him like a caregiver person to come in and help him with things for right now, just that way he can stay in his apartment.
good stuff.
Yeah, about
them time. I like it. I like it. And there is, just for the record, listeners, that is how we mix the yin and the yang on this show. We talk about real stuff with banter and back and forth and Granny happy for that gone, and I'm happy for Anthony. Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
And I know that's got to, man, that's got to reduce the stress level, girl.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, at least for a weekend. You know what I mean? You can have the release, and I think Stone Cold's supposed to be fighting, is he not?
He's supposed to fight Kevin Owens, and we're hoping that it's on night two at WrestleMania because I want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin kick Kevin Owens' butt.
Yeah, man. That ought to be good seeing him back in the ring and everything because he puts on a hell of a good show. And, you know, it's one of those things where...
And prayers go out to Scott Hall because he fell and broke his hip and he's in the hospital, so... Hugs and prayers for Scott Hall, for anybody that's a big wrestling fan.
Yeah. That stinks, man. That guy's been through a lot. And he was always one of the, especially when he was Razor Ramon. I mean, you had to love it. You know, of course, you know, the NWO thing got a little obnoxious after a while, but still, him coming in there and just being a dick about everything, he was funnier now. So, yeah, hopefully he has a quick recovery and everything and gets back on track because the older you get, the tougher it is. So, yeah, best wishes.
Yep,
yeah, first. When you come back from WrestleMania, you're going to have the floor. And truth be told, I didn't even think about it. If you wanted to, invite Anthony and David to the show. I know David's always working and everything, but invite them to the show, and what I'll do is I'll get on, I'll do the introductions, pass it around the room, and then it is Granny Hulkster's show. And you guys,
which reminds me, David just had a birthday. I know I hit him up on his timeline. I followed up on your timeline too, Granny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he was very appreciative of all the birthday wishes. I tell you, he was very appreciative of it. So.
Well, that's good. Hard-working man deserves it. Hopefully he'll be able to scale back a little bit and get a little breathing room from the workplace here.
Last week he put in 3 days of 12-hour shifts, and the third day was actually on his regular day off. So, you know, he had to work on his birthday. So.
Good grief.
And they actually give them a day off, you know, with pay for their birthday and their birthday month. So he actually took Monday off, the Monday after his birthday, he actually took that day off and got paid for it. So, you know,
it's
all good.
Like a little 3-day weekend
kinda like
thing.
It's kind of like a holiday pay for him, kind of the way they do it.
Right.
That'll work.
Outstanding. Well, Granny, I should have joined us this evening.
You're quite welcome.
And of course,
it was fun, as always.
A hug. Appreciate being able to jump on the show and having you here and catch up. Thanks, Granny.
You're welcome.
Now, Todd, I'm going to slide it over to you, my brother. Damn good to have you back.
Such as I am. Look, check this out. Here this Friday, my youngest sibling, John, happy birthday. And
happy birthday.
Irony,
such as it is, his paramour, Mary, apparently has the same date of the month, birthday.
Wow.
Mary. You as well.
Happy birthday.
Absolutely. Happy birthday.
So, John and Mary, happy birthday. It's kind of some of the biggest stuff. Dave, hit me up after the show just because.
Well.
The, in the doing that on the air because otherwise my dumbass would forget because I don't feel like texting him that same information. The happy Wednesday team. Look, I know I started the show mentioning the Ash Wednesday thing. Look, those that observe, awesome. Real quick, as far as observance, I love my junk food. It is going to be a struggle. I don't always eat it and do that stuff, but I love it so much. I can go a month or two without it, and then I binge for like 3 months. So this should be fun. Just letting y'all know, observant purposes, for those that do not observe, I kid you not, remember, come the end of this season, we are so much closer to spring. We will be past the spring equinox.
Yep.
Days will be getting longer. Things will be getting warmer. Things will be beautiful. So stay positive, people. Remember those little positive things. And apparently I'm mocked for my big hugs routine. But you know what?
We've been.
I don't give a rat's big hugs, crew.
There it is, the legit
big
version
hugs
of it right there, man. Todd does it better than I can do Todd or anybody else can do Todd. So, yeah, definitely refreshing to have you back this evening, man. Appreciate you joining us, dude. I know you've got a lot going on and everything. And yeah, damn good to have you back. And as we stated before, big, as Todd says, big hugs towards our compadres, Velvet and Tim out there covering from ailments and everything, hoping they get to feel better, get some rest, get some shut-eye, and coming back 100% as we always need them that way. But, yeah, Todd, definitely great to have you back this evening, man. Appreciate the help very much. And a little footnote, what you said, you know, Easter, folks, and I'm sure we'll have a show about it before it hits, but Easter is probably kind of a sore spot with me because it, for all the pomp and circumstance we put into Christmas, we put none into Easter. And to a certain extent, Easter is more important than Christmas is, if you really think about the gist behind the life of our Lord and everything.
It's the,
so,
it's the Domini of the Anni. Think about the Anno and Domini, the, just saying. Sorry for the Latin reference.
Nah, you're right, though, because it's a holiday that, for some reason, I blame corporate America on it, that they've kind of bypassed it, whereas if you stop and think, if it wasn't for Easter, we couldn't be the greedy little bastards we are. So, yeah, that's definitely well said, Todd, and appreciate you putting that in there, because it does mean a lot. I think folks just kind of turning a blind eye to it these days because it's not so commercially paramount like, you know, say Christmas or Halloween would be. But nevertheless, something we need to set ourselves straight because if we don't, you know, it's only going to get worse. Nevertheless, it's always great to have you aboard. And with me, the parting shots is just the usual thing, guys. There's a nasty old world out there and there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's keep in mind these folks out there in Ukraine, despite the sketchiness of their government, people who live in Ukraine are just like us. They're just trying to get up, go to work, and get their nut. And a lot of them are having to get up and put what they can in their cars and get the hell away. And could you imagine just leaving everything you have behind? Wondering if it's going to be there when you get back. It's something that here in America we have a hard time digesting because we've been spoiled for so long. And, you know, these folks, they don't know if they're going to have a house to return to or anything like that. That's if they can return. So you know, keep those folks in your thoughts, because despite the fact that their government has some opportunities, I'm sure those folks in Ukraine are just some good-hearted, salted-earth-type folks. So wish them the best. And before you become an expert in the situation in the field, like COVID and all these other things, do your research, self-educate, make up your own mind.
COVID tangent, jumping in. The today was a big day. It'd been a while in the coming. The presidential decree, whatever, higher level, I'm sure I'm botching the proper authority reference here. We were able to for those that I'm employed by, actually, as long as locality, using the CDC-based local reference local observance as a base point, if its COVID threat is medium or lower, and I was really shocked, honestly, that they use the medium vice, anything below that, we did not actually have to wear a mask at work. We're still observing all the spacing and quantities and meetings and all that kind of stuff. So the only thing they gave us was a space on was a mask. So today was the first time in a really long time. And I'm saying it, and I suppose it sounds more dramatic than it is. A couple of years ain't much. Not if you've lived on the earth as long as I have. It was really cool not to wear a mask and be able to see people's faces.
Yeah.
The bad news on that side, in my case, is me having the mask off, I had far too many people react like Mo from the Stooges. Nah. They were like, put the mask back on.
How they actually had to look at you now?
Yeah, pretty much.
If there's one positive thing about Vladimir Putin, it's the fact that that guy ran off COVID in one solid afternoon. Since he's invaded Ukraine, I haven't heard the first thing about COVID. We haven't seen Dr. Fauci. He's disappeared. And truth be told, at the workplace, folks just quit wearing the damn masks. And much like I've been saying for a while now, is we either got to get on living or we got to get on dying. This stuff of being idle in the middle ain't getting it. So people just quit wearing the damn things. And, you know, we've spoken about it plenty of times where laws are written when people write them for themselves, so to speak. You know, it's like the bypass here in Jacksonville. It was 55 miles an hour. Well, you get on the bypass and everybody's doing 70. So they bumped the speed limit up to 60. Why not? They were doing this shit already. So, you know, with the mask thing, you know, everybody just pretty much sans the masks. And so far this week, we haven't had any casualties. Everybody's still making it to work. Everybody's doing fine. But it's amazing how that stuff disappeared once Putin went into Ukraine. So, again, pardon me for screaming shenanigans, but I think perhaps the press has kept us in COVIDville a little too long, and now they got a little something else to piss and moan and carry on about. So now COVID is
okay,
that burning.
One more tangent on that. Let's talk about the efficacy of masks, the quality of the masks. Look, can masking work and help? Yes, it can. Can the majority of the masks that are offered help, sadly, they qualify as minimally.
Correct.
That is a whole nother discussion. Let's not break that. Oh, good God. I think Diamond Dave, you and I were talking about maybe going an hour at 41. I'm shutting the hex up. Have a good night. Big hugs. Diamond Dave, all yours.
I am going to ease into Atwell Manor here and cue in the British lady. And Todd, I want to
I love that. You are, I could hear the feet moving and all that. Oh, yeah, ease into. Oh, yeah, you're going to plod into.
Yeah, I'm wearing my house shoes, actually. I sit out there on the deck in my little corduroy house slippers.
Yeah, but you're doing the shuffle. You talk about the people that would walk into damn Sam's with the damn flip-flops.
Yeah, but you're not walking into a warehouse club with those damn flip-over shower
shoes. I get it. You're home, but you're doing the same damn thing. Just saying.
But these nifty little moccasins I have. Oh, God, let me turn the dryer off. How's that into the Atwell residency? And I've had this damn dryer running the whole time I'm on the show. So much for that light bill. I'm going to get over here and
the
British lady.
Yeah, brother. Oh,
at least the internet.
Gotta love that. Look, I jumped on the show for the first time in a couple months, and pure chaos. My job is done.
Welcome to chaos, man. Welcome to chaos. Well, we appreciate everybody joining us here at Pop Culture Stars tonight. We hope everybody has a safe and wonderful week. God bless you guys. We will talk to you next Wednesday night. When who knows what the hell we'll be talking about. But nevertheless, hope to see you there. You guys take care.
Good night,
Granny,
everybody.
Big love. Thank you
Lori,
much for joining
big
me.
Big hugs. Diamond
we'll
Day.
See you all too.
Jim.
All right, lady.
Velvet. Dr. John. Stroh. Hugs, bro. Crew. And for the listeners, big hugs.
And British lady.